From NPR Music, this is Alt Latino. We've got a very special show today. We're going to be taking you back.
Way back.
Back to where it all started, and we're talking about the very first Latin rock band from the 60s and 70s. Now, we picked out some of our favorites, and we're joined by Professor Eric Zola. He teaches history at Franklin Marshall College and is one of the editors of an amazing book called Rock in Las Americas, and he also writes a bi-monthly column on our blog at npr.org/altlatino. We call it The Vault, and in The Vault, he explores the history of rock in Espanol. Welcome, Eric.
Felix, Jasmine, great to be here.
Now, for those of you who are like me and didn't grow up during this era, don't worry, the music we've got lined up for you today is amazing. Tunes that we think have stood the test of time and are worth discovering or just revisiting.
I'm Felix Contreras.
And I'm Jasmine Garz. This is the always groovy Alt Latino.
Three little pigs run over the bridge, colors flashing. I feel it's so late, cause they have a date with an axis. It's the colors I see every day, but I've never had something this way. Did everyone go? I feel I'm too slow for the action. My friends in the box are hiding to know my reaction. But you can't run away from this place, cause you can't run away from your hair. I feel like I'm gonna die. Please let the sunshine bright.
Felix, this is your first pick. The band is called Kaleidoscope.
There's no doubt where we are. This is about 1967. I think it's because you can hear that fuzz-tone guitar, which was kind of gimmicky, but also kind of a new sound back then. The kind of heavy organ, almost freeform sound. The band is made up of people from Puerto Rico, from Dominican Republic, from Spain. They got together and released this album, and they billed themselves as a psychedelic band. Now, think about 1967. Some of the other stuff that came out in 67, Hendrix is the Jimi Hendrix Experience, Are You Experienced? There was the Sgt. Pepper album with the cover. And tellingly, the Beatles also revealed that they took acid. That's the period, and when you combine that with what was going on all around the world, San Francisco especially, psychedelic was the deal. Tune in and drop out. That was the phrase, and I think that it transferred down to Latin America with this band.
So, Eric, I want to ask you, now, this band is singing in English.
Right.
So, what's up with that?
It's also in English that it's hard to discern. You have to kind of figure out, is that just a mumbled Spanish, or is it a, you know, in English, unintentionally mumbled. I think partly it had to do with the idea that bands at that time were trying to appeal to a global audience beyond their sort of locale, which they may or may not have done successfully. But the idea of singing in English had a certain cachet. Many assumed that only authentic rock was a rock in English. Mm-hmm. And the audience, I don't think, really cared one way or the other. I think if they sang in English and they didn't understand it, it still seemed cool.
Was there, in Latin America, was there as much of a culture of drugs as there was in the late 60s, early 70s in the U.S.?
No, in general, I don't think there was as much of a drug culture. There was, to some degree, much more of a, let's call it a natural or an organic drug culture, taking mushrooms or peyote, which were, in Mexico's case, indigenous, and thus linked the sort of Mexican hipiteca, as they were called, to the land in a way of recuperating their own indigenous identity.
So, Eric, speaking of bands that sang in English, here's your first pick, Hanky Panky by Los Dugdugs.
A cover of Tommy James and the Shondells tune.
Correct.
But I would say a superior version.
Well, this is Los Dugdugs from Mexico around the same time, 1966, a little bit earlier. Let's check it out.
Mi novia baila hanky panky. Bailemos todos hanky panky. Mi vaca baila hanky panky. La gorda baila hanky panky. Mi nena baila hanky panky.
Otra vez, muchachos, que se oiga esto, ¿eh?
La vi paseando en el día de ayer. La vi muy sola y por primera vez. Tú dices necesito, yo me le acerqué. Algo atrás.
This version doesn't sound as uptight as Tommy James and the Shondells. This sounds a little looser.
You know, what was the hanky-panky? I don't know. It sounds...
Sounds like monkey business.
Sounds fun.
This was an era, of course, of a lot of political turmoil, a lot of tension with the United States and Latin America. How did the establishment react to some of these bands taking American music, redoing it, and sometimes even singing in English?
Right. Well, for one, keep in mind that Mexico was the odd man out. Mexico was, by then, one of the lone democracies and about to host the 1968 World Olympics. So at that moment, Mexico looked pretty glamorous and stable. But also, Los Dug Dugs, the folks who did this song, they're very interesting because they came from northern Mexico, where they had access to the music abroad and, in fact, had grown up playing in the bars in Tijuana and had sort of perfected this cover version of songs for border tourists and whatnot. Live, they would perform these covers sort of effortlessly, spotlessly, but in studio recordings, they were sort of forced to sing in Spanish, the so-called refritos. So I think there were the refrying of these tunes, that is, and the lyrics change slightly, and they tend to become sort of more conservative if you look at the lyric line. So it will be about, oh, my baby, let's go out together tonight, something a little bit tamer, if you will.
So that it could play on the radios? Or?
Yeah, so it can play on the radios, and so it could sort of not offend what we're called the las buenas costumbres, you know, the sort of proper family values. But exactly when this piece was hitting the airwaves, it was kind of reaching a point of breakage that sort of containing this raucousness was becoming all but impossible. And in fact, within a few years, the recording studios didn't even try to do that anymore.
So were there songs in English by Latino bands playing on the radios?
In Mexico, no. In Mexico, the cool thing was to be able to play in English live, but in the studio, you had to record these refritos in Spanish. Elsewhere in Latin America, it was already beginning to shift, though. And I think with precisely the kind of ramifications that you alluded to, that Spanish became seen as somewhat subversive because you could say things in Spanish that, you know, really caught the population, right? And laid a sort of a full frontal critique of institutions and so forth.
I was telling my mom about this show that we're doing today, and I asked her about bands that she listened to in Argentina in the 60s and 70s, and she went through this whole list of bands, and then she goes, and then there were those fools who sang in English. Why don't we move on to Cuba? Something really unique was happening in Cuba right around this time. And this is Silvio Rodriguez, Debo Partirme en Dos, or I Must Split Myself in Two.
No se crean que es majadería, que nadie se levante aunque me ría. Hace rato que vengo lidiando con gentes que dicen que yo canto cosas indecentes. Te quiero, mi amor, no me dejes solo, no puedo estar sin ti. Mira que yo lloro, no ven, ya soy decente, me fue fácil. Que el público se agrupe y que me aclame, que se acerquen los niños, los amantes del ritmo, que se queden sentados los intelectuales. Debo partirme en dos. Debo partirme en dos,
Unos dicen que aquí y otros dicen que allá. Y solo quiero decir, solo quiero cantar. Y no importa la suerte que pueda correr una canción. Unos dicen que aquí, otros dicen que allá. Y solo quiero decir, solo quiero cantar. Y no importa que luego me suspendan la función.
Silvio Rodriguez, who is one of Latin America's most important singer-songwriters, is writing in this truly revolutionary context. And this song is talking about how he needs to try to appease these different audiences, an audience that sort of wants to conform and confine the lyrics and the style to something that's overtly political or safe, and another audience that wants to jump out of their seats and dance. And he talks about how difficult that is in Cuba in the late 1960s.
There's one part of the lyric where he goes, you know, I can do love songs. I love you so much, baby. You're the love of my life, like in an almost like cynical, angry way.
That's right. And the song is very jocular in that regard. And he's saying, hey, I can play whatever you want, but what I'd like to play is a song and let it fall where it may.
Fusil contra fusil, la canción de la trova. Y la era pariendo se puso de moda. Debo partirme en dos, debo partirme en dos. Unos dicen que aquí y otros dicen que allá. Y solo quiero decir, solo quiero cantar. Y no importa la suerte que pueda correr una canción. Unos dicen que aquí, otros dicen que allá. Y solo quiero decir, solo quiero cantar. Y no importa que luego me suspendan la función.
And if you guys want to find out more about rock in Cuba, definitely check out our blog, npr.org/altlatino. Eric has been writing a fabulous series called From the Vault, and he has two installments about rock in Cuba, how it was born and how it existed in Cuba at the beginning of the revolution.
On to Brazil and the Tropicália movement. Okay, these are two well-known names, the names we even recognize now. Eric, who's playing, who's singing, and what is Tropicália?
Right, so Gilberto Gil and Caetano Veloso, who were the iconoclastic rockers that emerged in the late 1960s in Brazil, become the kind of foundational players for this movement called Tropicália, which was Brazil's version of the counterculture. They pissed off the right, and they pissed off the left as well, because they were doing stuff that seemed to contravene the traditions and the expectations on both sides, and actually were eventually exiled under the military regime. This song, Bat Macumba, really achieves the epitome of what the Tropicália movement was all about. It's fusing the Afro-Brazilian rhythmic sensibility with this cosmopolitan urge to be modern, bringing electric guitar to the congas. And there's a kind of very subtle play going on, because Bat Macumba is also about Batman. And if you look at the way the lyrics are typed up, it's a concrete poem in the shape of a bat.
all the songs we heard before this, musically, they sound a lot like what was happening in the US or in England. But I like the Brazilian music around this time really kept its own traditional sounds and celebrated them. Like, it was a real fusion.
Yes, and I think they did it best in many ways. But it's really the trend that's happening throughout Latin America this time to try to create a modern rock sound on their own terms.
Let's move to the next decade. Felix, from 1971, you picked the band Embrujo, which is spell, and the song Voy hacia el sol, which means I'm going towards the sun.
Voy hacia el sol, buscando los colores, colores.
Okay, Eric, name that tune. Where's that piano riff from? Any idea?
No.
To me, that piano riff sounds just like Fatboy Slim's more recent Praise You.
Huh. I don't know. I'll have to think about that. Certainly there's Beatle influence.
You know, in this music, it sounds a lot more together. The musicians are better at their instruments. And when I like to think about what else is going on at the same time, 71 was the year that Led Zeppelin released the album with Stairway to Heaven, Allman Brothers Live at the Fillmore East, Concert for Bangladesh. There's more form to the music. They're getting better as players and writers, and I think the song reflects that as well.
Yeah, it's tight. It's a very tight song, and it's beautiful, and it's got different registers.
And it also goes through a couple of different forms. There's time changes. That baffling piano part brings us to another style. And then it goes back to the ballad rock thing. And I really like this band. I was happy to discover this CD.
It also has that very 70s like nature. I'm going towards the people of the sun and a celebration of nature, which was, you know, the hippie style.
And their name, Embrujo, they used to be called Kissing Spell, but right about in 71 when they released this album, they decided they'd change their name to a Spanish name so they wouldn't get hassled by the government.
So right about the same time, also 1971, over in Mexico, a band called La Revolución de Emiliano Zapata released a song called Nasty Sex, which is a little bit of a theme change.
Had nothing to do with agrarian reform.
Right.
Sex is gonna let you down.
This beginning part reminds me a little bit of, have you heard Three Dog Night doing Mama Told Me Not to Come?
Oh, okay, yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, there's like the Creedence Clearwater revival.
There's a heavy Creedence feel to this song.
Wait. We're missing the point here. What's up with the nasty sex?
I mean, I think it was about being in your face and sort of sticking it to tradition, sticking it to the buenas costumbres, those proper family values, and sticking it to the state because they're saying, hey, Emiliano Zapata's a rebel, our countercultural rebel. He's not just a statue.
Why la revolución de Emiliano Zapata? Was that to piss the government off?
He was the most revered, you know, icon, right, in the pantheon of revolutionary heroes. And I think youth by this point in Mexico, circa 1971, were sick and tired of the official regime, the PRI, sort of speaking of the revolution in their name. And they were saying, hey, you know, Zapata's our hero too, and we're going to remake him.
Hey, baby, change your manners and go by the way.
Let's move back to Brazil with Caetano Veloso and Chico Buarque. This is the song Você Não Entende Nada, or You Just Don't Understand Anything.
Você está sempre aflita, lágrimas nos olhos de cortar cebola. Você é tão bonita.
Você traz a Coca-Cola.
Eu tomo.
Você bota mês.
Eu como.
Eu como.
Eu como.
Eu como.
Eu como. Você tá entendendo quase nada do que eu digo. Eu quero é ir-me embora. Eu quero dar o fora. E quero que você venha comigo. E quero que você venha comigo. Eu me sento, eu fumo, eu como. Eu não aguento. Você está tão curtida. Eu quero tocar fogo neste apartamento. Você não acredita.
Traz meu café com suí.
Eu tomo.
Bota sobre mês.
Eu como.
Eu como.
Eu como.
Eu como.
Eu como. Você.
Oh, I gotta say, this is one of my favorite songs ever. And it's actually, I forgot to mention, it's a combination of the song Você Não Entende Nada and Cotidiano, which means like quotidian, like routine. And that's exactly what this song is about. It's about just being fed up with your everyday life and wanting to explore and have adventures. And the whole song is just this guy that's, you know, he comes back after work. The opening lyric says, when I get back home, nothing consoles me. You're just sitting there, you know, crying and chopping onions. So it's like this middle class trap.
Yeah, and I think that was a larger theme of the time, right? The sort of being fed up with conventions and everyday life, the everyday life of your family, the state, and rebelling.
I think this song also kind of weaves a thread throughout Latin America and back in the United States and other parts of the world where, you know, just a singer and a guitar, a singer-songwriter could really change things, could really make a big difference in expressing the feelings, the sentiments of a lot of people. And I think that reflects all over.
Then the singer-songwriter tradition went deep in Latin America and really reaches an apogee, I think, in this early 70s period, especially in the band Sui Generis.
Oh, yes. Why don't we listen to Sui Generis next? This is a band from Argentina, and this is their 1973 hit Confesiones del Invierno, or Confessions of Winter.
Thank you. techo de su cuarto gritándome: no tienes profesión. Tuve que enfrentarme a mi condición. En invierno no hay sol. Y aunque digan que va a ser muy fácil, es muy duro poder mejorar. Hace frío y me falta un abrigo.
So Eric, I'm so happy that you picked this because Sui Generis is like such an important band in Argentina in the 70s, and even though it's from the 70s, I grew up listening to it too. They were kind of a big deal because they were, in a veiled way, they were talking about the dictatorship. This song is about heartbreak, right? It's about a guy whose girlfriend breaks up with him because he doesn't have a job. And in that sense, it's like an everyday song. You could turn on your top 40s radio and hear something similar today. But it's almost like a picture in which you look at it and it looks normal, and then in a little corner you realize something's very wrong.
Yeah.
And there's that one line in which he says, you know, he was so heartbroken, he went to the bar and he got sick, and then he gets thrown into the sheriff's office and he ends up with all these cuts and bruises.
Right, a reference to the torture of by the regime.
Things were getting nasty. I remember talking to my mom about this band, which she really loved, and her mentioning this one line in this song, which is supposedly about heartbreak, and the line says, "The doors to this hell will close soon, and it's possible that I might want to leave." And she said that's exactly what Argentina was like right before the dictatorship was coming close. It
right.
was looming.
Right.
Cerrarán las puertas de este infierno, y es posible que me quiera ir. Conseguí licor y me emborraché en el baño de un bar. Fui a dar a la calle de un puntapié y me sentí muy mal. Y si bien yo nunca había bebido, en la cárcel tuve que acabar. La fianza la pagó un amigo. Las heridas son del oficial. Hace cuatro años que estoy aquí y no quiero salir. Ya no paso frío y soy feliz. Mi cuarto da al jardín. Y aunque a veces me acuerdo de ella, dibujé su cara en la pared. Solamente muero los domingos y los lunes ya me siento bien.
You know, I got to say, listening to the music this week and some of the stories, I'm reminded of some of the writings by the Uruguayan writer Eduardo Galeano. And,
right.
and a lot of the stuff he writes about, it's about oppression, it's about resistance. His book from 71, The Open Veins of Latin America, it's almost like a literature accompaniment to some of the music that we're hearing.
There was a real polemic taking place where the left thought that music needed to serve a purpose. It needed to rally the troops, right, for this left-wing defense of civil liberties and a struggle against repression. And the rockers kind of needed to traverse this very fraught political landscape because they wanted to play music and write music that was creative and sincere and sort of not worry about the politics. So they were kind of caught between the la espada y la pared, as the Chilean singer-songwriter Joe Vasconcelos says, between the sword of the left and the wall of the firing squad.
Okay, that was 73 in Argentina. Now, 1973, in all places, London, there was another Latin American band with some very interesting music, a band called Spiteri.
I
I mentioned this was a band from London. They were in London. They were actually from Venezuela. Charlie and Jorge Spiteri tried their luck playing rock music in Venezuela, weren't getting anywhere, moved to London, fell in with some of the people from Traffic and some of the other British invasion bands, and they produced this album with other Venezuelan expat musicians. In 1973, Santana had already made a big mark with their sound, and to me, this band sounds like they were trying to carry on that tradition.
It also going again to the nature and farmers' struggle and power of the people. This song is Campesina, which means farm worker.
Cumbimba,
campesina, campesina.
Cumbimba,
campesina, campesina.
Cumbimba,
las cuatro de la madrugada.
And Eric, my last pick for today's show is Brazilian singer Gal Costa, and this is her rendition of Barato Total from 1974.
Finally, a woman.
What's up with that? I was looking over our list of songs, and out of 10 artists from the 60s and 70s, we only have one woman. Was it just like a man's world in the music business?
It shouldn't have been that hard to find, but it's true. It seems that they're buried and they're under the radar in terms of the history of this period. Mexico certainly has several women performers. Maite Campos was one of them. But yeah, they didn't make it into the recording studio, it seems, as often.
I think there's a parallel here in the United States, too, because there weren't very many female instrumentalists. There were certainly well-known lead vocalists at the time, Janis Joplin, Grace Slick, and then some of the singer-songwriters as well. But in rock, there weren't, I'm really racking my brain trying to remember a woman playing guitar, drums, or any instrument from that era.
Right, and Gal Costa is also, you know, she's definitely very sensual, but very delicate and soft.
Right.
She's not exactly like a Joan Jett, you know?
Yeah, and that all comes later. Certainly by the 80s and 90s, we find women rockers, you know, all over.
And so Barato Total goes back to this kind of drug culture because ter un barato, it's like jargon for dropping acid. So there's a little double entendre. She's also talking about, you know, being in a happy state of mind in which, you know, everything is okay. But there's that little, you know, again, like a little hidden lyric about drugs and very psychedelic.
Mm-hmm.
La, 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 la.
It's been a very psychedelic trip this week on All Latino. We're lucky to have Professor Eric Zolov with us. He teaches history at Franklin Marshall College and has edited books and written books about rock in Las Americas. Eric, thanks for being with us.
It has been truly groovy, Felix.
Make sure to check out his regular feature on our blog. That's called From the Vault, and he explores music from the 60s and beyond from all over Latin America. It's really good stuff.
Today we picked our favorite artists from the 60s and 70s. They were the true pioneers of rock in Espanol, but we really want to hear from you. Who are your favorite bands from the era? Drop us a note on our blog.
And don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. I'm Jasmine Garst.
And I'm Felix Contreras. This has been Alt Latino.